You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
I gotta say, I love the way the music kicks in like that. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for Breaking Bad, the season 5 finale called Gliding Over All. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Kevin Undergaro.
Yeah, I'm here trying to take Kristen Snyder's notes so I can take credit for her thoughts.
Okay. No!
And sitting right next to Kevin is Kristen Snyder.
Hi, guys. What's up?
And over here is our own Phil Svitek.
Hello, hello.
And engineering for us is our own Benjineer, Big Ben Bottomley.
Hello.
Okay, lots to cover today. Lots to cover. Overwhelming again. Building up to that great finale. Last stuff when you and I don't want to get to that just now, but just building to that. And of course, in our special segment, we'll talk about catches of the week. But want to start off with how they dealt with Mike and how they brought Todd back, and had to deal with the aftermath of Mike. So that was interesting.
Watching last week's show, it seemed to me like that was. And I was obviously wrong in predicting this, but I thought that was the end of Walter White. I think as the sun came down, he's in front of the water, and Mike is the old gun that's dying out in the West, and there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Heisenberg. Mike outed him. I know you. You're Walter White. You're just a chemistry teacher. Just a chemistry teacher. Just because you shoot Jesse James don't make you Jesse James. And as we've talked about off camera, is that, you ever want to really get someone go and expose them for who they are. You expose them for who they really are. And most of those people, make it so you need to be taken out of the equation, even just if it's just stop being friends with somebody. But when someone exposes you for who you are, it's the worst. You want to be around people that think you are X, Y, and Z. And in the previous scene, we see the other guy, the big drug lord,
Declan Cowers,
whoa, you killed Frayne? Jeez, oh, you're Heisenberg, and gives him the respect he wants. And so I'm saying to myself, we're never going to see. That was the last of Walter White. And as talking to more people, there's a consensus out there that felt that in that scene, he did actually feel badly that he killed Mike and that he was human and he was flawed and everything. Not just his reaction, but also he felt a little bad. Yeah. And anyway, what was interesting is we saw Walter White in this episode. I saw, I thought it was going to be all Heisenberg, and wasn't. So it's just, again, credit to Vince Gilligan for continuing.
But we did see Heisenberg. That was the other thing that was interesting.
I said predicted wrongly that we would never see Walter White again, John.
We saw both.
But we've seen both. I thought that this is what we would never see Walter White, the chemistry teacher, again. I was convinced that from this moment to the moment he's at the Denny's, it was all Heisenberg now, and I was wrong. And that just shows, again, just a credit to Vince Gilligan. He's just keeps you on your toes.
I'm glad he's back. I mean, I was tense through every episode of this entire season, and now I'm just sad, and I feel like I need a therapist after everything I've been through this season.
I understand you're sad that he might actually get caught, right? That's what's very sad, right, Ben?
I have so many emotions going on right now.
Yeah, you guys.
The whole episode, I was so excited. I waited so long to finally have the success, the spoils of war.
Well, in speaking about Todd in that early scene, with Heisenberg, there's an apathy for whoever dies in his path. And I think Todd has a bigger apathy for that. And so that, I feel like, was a factor in eventually what Walt coming back to, quote, Walt.
Because what? Because he kind of showed him callousness really is?
Yeah. You know, and seeing seeing those uncles, and again, just Todd having that complete apathy for no matter what happens.
I don't agree with you, but I mean, yeah. I'd like to know more. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I didn't see that. The way Walt handled the uncles, like Heisenberg.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I think it was more the moment with Skyler. I don't want to get ahead because we'll get to it. But again, on a personal note, Phil, you weren't there for this part. I was just saying, how do we get Todd working at AfterBuzz? I think he's fantastic.
He is fantastic.
We waited a long time for this. Focus, no drug problems, no emotions, no old girlfriends, no shitbag friends. Yeah.
Exactly.
He leaves everything else at home. I mean, I don't even know if he's got anything else going on besides this.
No guilt, no conscience, doesn't care. He knows that my head to be taken care of.
He's like a robot.
Shoots children.
Yeah, well, you know.
I haven't seen an emotion on Todd's face yet.
No.
Well, focused.
The only hint at emotion or where his kind of goal that he ever gave was last episode when he said, we'll talk about the money situation when I get this right.
And by the way, you know, in my catches of the week, Mike August took that as, I'm not worried about the money because I'm going to take all the money. I don't agree with that.
Oh, no,
that
I don't think so.
But no, I still think just wants to fit in and really wants to please. And you know,
he's a simple kid.
Well, look, he grew up with all those uncles around him. He knows how to work that room.
Man, he's doing great things.
Exactly.
Great employee, Phil. Excellent.
He's terrific.
Got to get him over here in AfterBuzz.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about any, you know, blowback because he knows it might get to going. So
it's interesting.
Fine.
We know what he's like with Jesse. It's the dysfunctional father and son.
Yeah.
We saw early on with Gail, it was actually the coworker that he always wanted, a contemporary who looked up to him. You know, just that one episode where they toasted together.
Yeah. Gail was just so happy to be in his presence.
It was the two of them. It was just so nice, you know, for that one brief moment. And now we see that he's got a really model student, which he had no model students, you know, when he was teaching. You saw he was trying to teach, but nobody
was into
it. And
here's a kid who seems to really want to learn.
Yeah. And, but, you know, it's not enough.
No.
Right?
No, of course not. Never enough.
No.
But I did like the way Todd took care of business. I was going, wow, this is, so I was, you know, believing the whole, wow, this is a good move for Heisenberg. And
yes.
Now he's got his, you know, right-hand man.
Well, it's interesting that you guys say that, ultimately, Todd did want the Empire, or perhaps he did. Because I'll get it. I just want to put that out there now, so that way when we get to predictions, I don't forget it.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we should go over that. You know, once again, there's the fly. It's like the thread on the, you know, he's obsessing about other things.
Like the thread on the hat.
Thread on the hat. And you know, it's the fly, the tie back to the pest company. Mm-hmm.
And it's also,
I think that was a tie back to the entire episode where he's just dealing with a fly.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. And so, go further with that, Ben. What do you think the correlation is? Do you think that's it ends there, or is there more meaning to it?
I'm sure there's more meaning to it. I don't know what they, you know, what they're hinting at, but.
Well, one of the most simple things is later on he talks about Jesse, like, you know, all the things we've been through.
Yeah.
And it would have been really easy.
He was probably thinking about his relationship with Jesse and the good old days, you know, as we see later, they reminisce.
Yeah.
But maybe he was thinking of that as.
Well,
as
and it's also, I know this wasn't maybe, this. Oh, go ahead, Ben.
I don't know. Maybe he was thinking of Mike as just another pest he had to deal with. Yeah. I don't know.
But, you know, the way he was looking at the fly was exactly, for me, it was the same way he was looking at that painting. All this other stuff going on here, and he's just constantly focusing on
like
the thread.
He's out to lunch.
You can do better than that. Why is it, John?
Why is he staring at that painting?
In the painting, in the thread, in the fly.
Well, obviously, there's something else needling him, and it could be the fact that this isn't enough. I mean, you know, the whole idea that this is what he wants, the Empire, he wants this, and there's something underneath, something that's not quite right, something that's bugging him, that's not, it's not there. It's not what I really want.
It's not
want.
Filling the void.
It's not.
Well, what did him and Hank drink, right? It was whiskey?
I believe it looked like.
All right. Well, I mean, whiskey, you know, the metaphor is like it sucks your soul. It leaves a hole in you. And so, like, no matter how much as Skylar later on says, you know, how much is enough?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's just an empty pit that you cannot fill.
Good catch. Yeah. And, you know, and then so we see the similarities between their two characters, which we know. We've got good and evil. We have these guys who are on a quest and a mission. Mm-hmm. And then that little wrinkle is, I'll have mine on the rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Cold, icy.
Yeah.
You know, nope, I'll have mine straight.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
Especially after the day he had.
It was also interesting, even the fact that Walt when Todd comes in the office and, you know, says, I dropped off the car.
Yeah.
He's not behind the desk.
Yes.
He's hunched over.
Exactly.
And he's in the kind of weak position.
Right. And he didn't take the desk because Mike was usually behind there. So that was very interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Not taking the position, even though he's, quote, earned it.
Well, you know, this is Maria, you know, yeah. Maria Menounos was saying she felt that Walt was the most honest he's ever been last episode. That was her feeling. And she felt
with Mike?
Just in general. A lot of the things, the moments he had was the most honest he's been that she's seen and that she can recall. Uh-huh. And I felt like there was residual effect from killing Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mike was the one who actually brought that out of him.
Right.
Because who else has stood up to him like that and called him out?
He did, but also I think there was also honesty. I still feel it was honesty with Jesse. It wasn't just to manipulate him and cook it.
Yeah.
He meant it. You're going to go back to smoking weed, doing drugs, and playing video games where you could be the very best at something.
That's right.
You know, but anyway.
What dad or coach hasn't said that to a student or son?
Right. You know what I mean? But it's great, though, because it shows it's more with those two than just I'm going to use you to make money.
Right. Well,
I just felt like Walter White was off somewhere else when I said out to lunch. I just meant he was somewhere else during all this was going on. Like, he's not in it anymore. Like, a lot of times we saw him this episode and he wasn't so much in the conversation and making the decision.
Yeah. I think that's to John's point. There's a big stack of money. What else do you... Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, geez, what do
caught up in the chase of it.
I feel like he's finally standing on the outside, though, and looking in at everything. And I feel like he had yet to do that before this moment.
Well, because he was still struggling. You know, now it's...
Now he can relax. What do you do when you have it all, then? What do you do after that?
So what was the turn, do you think? I mean, I know we're completely off our topic, but
we'll get to it.
No, well, it's like this. You know, back in the old days when you used to farm, your conflict was external, right? It was the external world, the wind, the rain, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then eventually, you know, as things become easier, you get more into your head, and then, you know, the conflict is internal. And so for him, the conflict is internal. He's like, what the hell do I do? So now he's going through this existential crisis of what is my life about? What, you know?
Yeah, what
has it led to this point?
I have kids. I have, you know, like, what am I doing? You know,
I know that's my point. That's exactly what I'm asking. Is because in this episode, was it when Hank says it's better chasing marking trees than chasing monsters?
I think it did probably the fly reminiscing about Jesse.
Yeah, and obviously Skyler.
And then Skyler put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
how much?
And again, we can probably talk about that later.
We will.
Right.
So why don't we talk about
it? It's always good to have a junk dealer, you guys. I want to point that out. You know, one of our close friends, John, and Phil's too.
Uh-huh.
His family had all the junk business, the metal business, where they could crush anything. So you could,
there was one near my house.
It's just really risky.
Very handy.
Fans out there, you know a junk dealer who has specifically either a metal shredder, even better, a metal crusher, you can really make some great things happen.
You can make a lot of things go away.
Yeah.
Yep. We're encouraging only good behavior.
Of course.
Just saying. All right. Just saying.
Well, while we do that, well, let's move on to Lydia because we brought her
and
back.
They turned the car into a cube.
They turned it into a cube.
Which, you know, always means more with these guys.
Oh,
cube, four sides. And anyway, so it was interesting because we've been all about the threes. And again, I'm going to steal from Mike August, but he was mentioning how Channel 4, and I'll get into it later when we talk about the news report that was going on.
Exactly.
But it's interesting that. Anyway, thinking of reading that note and then and having in my notes, the car turns into a cube.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cubes have six sides.
Yeah, but it were cubed and cubed root, I think, is what he was going for. As in square root and cube.
So, Ben, you might be smarter than me, but sometimes I'm right.
Okay. All right. So Lydia comes back. And again, the last time we saw her in a diner was with Mike. And remember how she was with Mike and how she was so careful with the waitress there, too. She gets a repeat of that. Don't you want to order something? So it looked like kind of an innocuous part. And he's saying, no, I'm not interested in drinking and stuff like that, you know, because he was just wanted to get down to business. But, of course, we'll find out later what that's all about. He didn't order anything. But I thought it was really interesting that because he, you know, the way he was taking the hat off, and he was so careful to put his glasses back on. I said, as I'm watching it, he reminds me of Gus and how specific Gus was with getting, you know, putting the gloves on or taking his glasses off. And
it goes back to what I said. Yeah. We're a lot alike, you and I.
Exactly. And he learned that, or at least it seems like he took that. So
he's perfected the routine. He's got everything down to a T at this point.
Well, you remember where this comes from, you guys. He's a scientist. Yeah. Right. Scientists are about control, particular. Controlled experiments. Yeah. It's about control. It's not about chaos, which, you know, when he goes and meets with those murderers, they're all about, it's going to be chaos. And it's like, no.
No.
Because he's all about control and the science.
And when Lydia gets into chaos, he gets in trouble.
I'll give kudos to Maria. She called it that Lydia would be a great... would end up being a great ally for him.
Sure. I've always thought that she would certainly help him. I still think she's going to be a problem for him because I think she's a loose cannon in a sense.
He clearly did, too.
Can't control her.
He did what? No, that's
he clearly thought that she was going to be a problem, too, which is why he had the ricin under his hat.
Exactly. Which is why I don't think he ordered anything.
Question. We see her... by the end of it, you know, and I'm jumping in. I know we're going to talk about the montage. I just wonder if... I know you say she's going to be a problem. I still think that, yes, they'll all be problems, but Walt's the biggest problem for everyone else. That's
sure,
what I'm still maintaining.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Like, they may be a little problem for him, but he's going to be a big problem for all of them.
I'm just saying, you can't, because as soon as she gets in the sights of somebody, DEA, anybody, the first thing she's going to do, oh, God, yeah.
She rolls.
The first thing she's going to do.
But he knows that, though.
Yeah, he does know that. But I just think that's, you know.
He knows that. But I'm wondering, will anything romantic spark with them? Is this the woman he should have been with or should be with? And the reason I say that is because the handshake. Did you guys notice the handshake?
Yeah, that was very strange.
It wasn't a handshake where the hand would be, and I'm
straight
sorry,
out.
For the, straight out.
Yeah.
It was
a little kind of...
With the palm facing down.
Yeah.
And it was much more soft, supple.
Yeah.
It looked slightly romantic.
But did you see what he did after he...
The hand pulled away, and it was just a close-up of the hand, of his hand, and then, you know, it goes to what you're going to say.
Well, he just kind of...
Right, it just see this once, you guys, and come up fast. But I ask everyone to watch it again, which we will look. The look on Walter's face after he does that kind of strange handshake, which I took as slightly romantic, but it might have just been weird. I don't know. But look at his face, what his face was. It was very – it wasn't Heisenberg, and it might have been Walter White, but it was something. He was reacting to something.
The whole thing was – it was just very strange for her to even say that, to say shake. And then the way she did it was weird.
I don't take the shake as weird.
Why?
Because it's old business. Like, there's a story.
But that kind of shake, Phil?
Not that kind of shake, but he's saying the notion of shaking.
Well, right, I think it's weird because – The way it was done was weird. It's like, what, you're going to shake on a drug deal? That I don't care if she's
a businesswoman. She's all corporate,
right?
Couldn't
exactly.
You see that nerd geek like totally
no. See,
nerd,
I think that no. It I'm in my experience. In my experience of that, it was like, well, that was just friggin' weird. The way she did it, how she did it, when she did it. That
well,
was
we know
just
she's
odd.
A little weird. She's a little odd.
I know, but it seems just. You know, I don't have anything other than that didn't ring true to me.
I buy it because she's just she
like,
is,
what is she looking for? Because I thought she's doing something else going on there.
In terms of the handshake itself. Yes, it was awkward because I think she's an awkward person. I think she did it or she asked for it in the sense it's old business, right? You shake someone's hand. That's it.
I clearly understand what you mean.
You can't go back on that. You don't need a contract.
I've never seen her as old business.
That's why I see her, John, as totally awkward outside of anything but business. I think that's why she gets the leadership awards. I think she's great. Mm-hmm. She's one of those nerds who's great in that world. And then she's awkward in other places. But it's just interesting, guys. She's a single mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a wide open play here for Walt. I mean, like, by the way, we've seen everything with him except this.
Yeah.
We haven't seen. Remember, he got a little inappropriate with the other teacher way back early on.
Yeah.
But we've never seen him have any.
No.
We haven't seen that yet. We've seen him do everything. But. He hasn't been a stud yet, but he certainly has the money.
Sure,
and he's got the swagger.
But he's out now.
What's that?
But he's out.
Yeah, right. There's no getting out ever, ever. Although, according to you, there is.
There are no clean getaways.
Oh,
according to Kristen, there are in real life.
Oh, is that right? You want to elaborate on that?
I'm not going to elaborate on that. But something I did like was when Walt said to her, he's like, learn to take yes for an answer, yeah. Lydia. You can stop now.
Right, yeah, stop. Stop being a crazy lady.
She is missing that professional side. I mean, she's just like, she's crazy.
But again, he's ready for more iTunes hate mail on me. But I've just known a lot of women that have been successful, I've done business with, that just still have that woman side to them. Just like I know a lot of men have the bad men side to them, and they have their bad stereotypes that come out in meetings, pissing contests, being the alpha male, being bullies. I totally see a lot of John in Hollywood, how many successful female executives, and they're just, you know, same thing.
I want the background on her, though.
But it's interesting, though. So as good as a business person she is, she still sells him, even though he's already said yes, which tells me.
But again, that's just the neuroses. I've dealt with this with women in business. I've seen it. So again, I like Gilligan's style. And again, I see a lot of shit men do that I typically see men do over and over again. It's like, dude, you got the job. Shut up, you know. But I buy it with her. And that's, again... Right. I get, you know, whatever. I just see it a lot. That's all. Okay. You've heard me say it before.
I don't see it as often, I guess.
I mean, I don't think...
Well, you're not in those meetings. No, you're more on the creative side. But in the business side,
and the stakes for her are so much higher. I mean, think about it. She knew that Mike's dead.
Yeah.
And so in her mind, think of like all the 800 things that are going through her mind. And to plug in our friend Adam Carolla, like listen to that guy's thinking in like a half a split second. So the shit that goes through her mind of like, is he gonna kill me? But then if like, it's just insane, and she is an insane person.
Well, wait, what does Carolla have to do with anything? I'm missing that.
No, I brought him in because he just overanalyzes everything, and Lydia's the type of person
Okay, no, but to your point, Phil, she's overanalyzing everything, and you're right. Based on the fact that this guy killed Mike, who to her is the scariest person, the most amazing assassin ever.
Gus too.
And she's like, holy shit, I'm sitting with the guy. So absolutely, now that you said that, and that's why I love that we keep talking things through till we come to the realization or the conclusion in most cases. But yeah, she's totally entitled to be like a little bit off in the head because she's sitting with the guy that killed Frayn and Mike. Mm-hmm. And she said that. She's like, you know, and I know if you're here...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which is great. I love her logic. It was wonderful.
She figured it out. Kudos to her.
I know, but that also goes to my point is that, she's got ahead a rational thought to figure all that out. And then she's just, you know, and after he's already agreed to everything, she's still selling. And then does the weird handshake. That's where I was just going, who is this woman?
Well, I think she can get away with all that, even if we don't buy that she's an erotic person, which I think she's an erotic person. Mm-hmm. And I've seen many like that. And that sometimes.
What causes that?
But sometimes it's that very thing that helps people achieve.
That's true.
How many people are off in the head, but they're just, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg or whatever. Like, there's just many examples of that. But she gets a pass just the fact that she's going to be shitting her effing pants to be sitting across from Walt when she knows. Who Walt's taken out?
But here's the thing: she already know he took out Frayn, so it's not like it's that big of a difference.
But then she took, but then to take out Mike, like who Mike was all over everything. Mike was so scary.
Yeah, did she know that he took out Frayn?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, she may not know specifically.
Well, she said in the scene.
She said before Frayn was killed. She didn't say.
Right. Yeah. She may not know.
You did.
She said, but then someone killed him. I mean, it seemed like maybe she knew, but again,
she absolutely knew.
I
didn't think she knew.
A lot of people didn't know that he did it.
I mean, one of the things that she could have been looking for is a reaction from him.
By saying that?
Yeah.
True.
And the response he elicited, that'll tell me yes or no.
Okay.
Well, she was smart enough to keep those names in her head, though, until she knew that she would make use for something else.
Except I think Walt's line was, look, if you don't give me those names, you're no use to me. I think that was a better line.
Right.
So, good thought. Let me write those down for
But by the way, great business proposal.
Yeah.
We're definitely stepping up. I'm so excited because I'm tired of the riffraff. And I don't know about you guys in New Mexico. I'm ready. I'm ready for international.
All right. Well, let's be speaking to that. In order to go to the next level, we have to take care of business.
Take care of a little business.
Tie up some loose ends. And that's when, of course, he calls in Todd. I think it's time for me to meet your uncle and his friends in prison. Or
I mean, and just like
that hotel scene was very interesting.
Yeah, the so seedy.
And the way it was lit was so. I mean, you barely saw anybody's face.
I mean, very dark episode, the whole episode, you know.
Except when we got to the montages.
By the way, I like how you knew it was a weird part of town because every time no one was speaking, they brought up the sound effects. Yeah. And it was like cops and people screaming.
Yeah,
and
some seedy hotel. And then, of course, we got to see the hotel afterwards. We see where they were.
Motel Hacienda with Hacienda only CIE lit up.
Oh,
in the thing, know. And but you know the ashtray full of cigarettes, yeah. The pizza. Yeah. I mean, it was just
all the prison tats all over him and everything.
Ricky Hitler brought his Nazi friends.
Yeah, Ricky Hitler brought his white supremacists.
Thank you, Ben.
Which is interesting. Later on, she talks about. Skylar says, "I'm spraying it for whitefish," which again, like
silverfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it silverfish?
Yeah, silverfish. Yeah.
Why did I read whitefish? Oh, because I was thinking of something else. Yeah. Sorry. But that the scene, they're like, it can't be done.
Yeah.
That to me was amazing.
That was great.
Once again, he's in control.
What about the painting? I didn't really get what the, if was it anything that anybody would recognize it or
okay.
Or what was I didn't recognize it,
but again, it's a boat.
Yeah.
So last week was Marine. And by the way, guys, this whole episode, if you notice, was about running water and bodies of water.
Yeah, they did use a lot of that.
Everywhere.
And him
dripping hoses.
In water.
Bathing
we saw
in water.
Two shower scenes.
And also two faucet
and montage,
scenes.
Yeah.
That backed each other up. Yeah. And you know, John, can you speak to this? I remember hearing in old filmmaking classes that water, particularly running water, symbolizes life.
Life. Yeah, that's what it usually symbolizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what we're, I mean, or is it the typical Vince Gilligan's one of the meanings?
I would imagine that they were going for some multi-layered thing. But I think that the reason why it was there was that that would be the choice he would make at the end by getting out would be choosing life. Because staying in is almost certain death. I'm guessing that's what they were, the metaphor.
And the guys in the boat, did you see like the heads were kind of gone?
Yeah, their like faces you couldn't,
worn off.
They're a little obscured and stuff.
I kind of saw it as, I mean, his showering, I felt like, was him trying to get rid of, cleanse everything that he's done and get out. And then for the boat scene, I felt like it was a man in a boat rowing away from what it looked to be a family waving goodbye.
Gotcha. Okay. Probably
interesting. There.
That's what I saw. Definitely
he's washing his hands. I mean, the Pontius Pilate thing, we always see that.
Right.
And again, it's just the many meanings. But what to me, what stuck up the most was the fact he was preoccupied with it. And
not caring about the details either.
And what did he say? He said, "I see these all the time."
Yeah, yeah. Do they have these in a warehouse somewhere? I mean, where do these come from? That's what he was saying.
And we can do it.
Which I thought was
we can do it, just not the way you want it.
Yeah. And he goes, oh.
Go ahead. What did he say?
Well, I don't remember the exact line, but it can be done the way I want it.
Maybe you're just the wrong man.
Yeah. And they were talking about chaos and in science, chaos control.
Exactly.
Right? And when you're a scientist, it's all about the control.
And very precise.
Precision.
The timing of it and everything.
And once again, man, he is fearless and he's Heisenberg and, he's with a real scary group.
Yeah.
And look how he handles them.
Not doesn't care a whit. You figure it out. He'll come up with a plan. He said, no. He didn't even do that. He said, no, figure it out.
That's what I'm paying you for.
Exactly.
I've said this before, almost makes me want to get cancer.
Shut up.
No, seriously, just to be that. You look how focused and fearless. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing.
Just realize your own mortality, then you don't need the cancer.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, wow. I guess I don't need the cancer.
No, you don't.
All right.
Therapy after this.
Be cognizant of that.
And how great was the montage?
Oh, my God. It was reminiscent of Godfather, where they do these, different music, of course, but the way they do these great intercuts with the music. I mean, what was the first one? Was Nat King Cole and Start All Over Again?
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
And by the way, the way they stabbed.
Oh, my God.
The lawyer.
Yeah.
And with all the homemade tools, I mean, there's guys who've taken, like, styrofoam cups and twisted them enough to literally make them into stabbing instruments. Mm-hmm. But you could see. It was those small things and those small kind of instruments that they make in jail.
Yeah.
And because they can't really get a deep cut,
they have to do the multiple ones.
So many times.
I love how they actually did that. Like, they made it authentic as usual.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't
that
really.
That is pretty much what a prison shiv attack looks like.
Because we've seen so many.
I would know.
Yeah, they didn't really, they didn't paint this pretty. I mean, it was just nasty and went on for... I love the watch. It was amazing with the 2 minute going on. Well, go ahead, Ben.
They set a dude on fire.
Yeah.
That was the guy. That was the one guy.
Ready to go.
The one who was ready to spill it all in the beginning.
As they say back east, give him a guitar.
As gruesome and as violent as it was an amazing montage. I mean, like,
I was going to say, as gruesome as violent was, it was also beautiful.
It was.
Because we were so happy to see Walt get the power back.
Horrible as that was.
It was so carefully constructed, just like a painting, though. I mean, reflecting back to that painting, the montage itself.
And the way it was shot with a mirror here, looking through the window there. I mean, it was just wonderfully, you know, creative and it was never boring. I mean, there was a lot of killing to show.
A lot of killing.
So.
And when he said it's done.
Yeah.
He revealed that he was finally in the yellow shirt, which is like us.
Yeah. Oh.
Which I love.
Yellow shirt with that nice watch on.
Yeah. It was the
second hand sweeping around there. Oh. That was nicely done.
He also wore yellow a lot in season one.
Oh, did he?
And yeah, and he just looked like when he walked in as Heisenberg with those sunglasses, it reminded me of the first time we ever see him.
Oh, yeah.
It just
first time we saw him as Heisenberg, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you mean in the restaurant?
No.
The coffee shop?
Yeah, when he walked in.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the first time we ever saw Heisenberg.
Yeah, I agree. It's exactly because he had the sunglasses on.
Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Walter White was coming back,
right? So he wasn't fully comfortable in the role, which I feel is great writing because ultimately where we end up, it makes sense that he was on that arc.
Wow. All right. Well, you know, while we're talking about montages, let's talk about the other one because that happened shortly thereafter, which is just God. Now that was even prettier.
Oh
yeah! So we got to see because
the final cook. I mean, by the way,
final cook.
The cooking montages have just
always been
fantastic.
Just been amazing. And I'm going. I'm wondering if the writer's going, oh no, another montage of a cook, or are they going, oh, this is great. Let's do something totally different.
They love it. I'm sure they love it. I mean, for me, I wish, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Great tune.
It's a great tune. I liked the Monkees last week, the week before. And I wished it was more of an upbeat song because I'm in the minority, but I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm watching all the money. I've been waiting 5 seasons for this to see all the money come in.
It's bittersweet, though.
Well, at the end it is, but during it, it was found like
you were really
so
happy seeing all
like,
that
look
money.
At this.
Yeah.
Oh, and Todd, and everything's functioning properly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like clockwork.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was like German precision, magical.
And it was great that I've been wondering the whole time, like, we've moved rather slowly. By the way, very entertaining, not slow in a bad way. But now that's
in terms of chronology.
Yes, even activity. It was like it was
okay.
You know, but now we jumped
in a montage.
You guys, we jumped from having say $100,000 or $200,000 to having
whatever that is,
whatever
stacks.
Many like
stacks.
And
uncountable amount
in a deal not only with the guy here in the United States, but then in Czech Republic, where they like their meth.
Yeah, they love their meth. I want to go to the Czech Republic
and
say, how are they receiving this new blue meth?
I'm so glad that they didn't go with Russians.
Right.
Because, you know, with the fall of the Soviet Union,
but that's inaccurate.
What's that?
It's inaccurate.
What's inaccurate?
In Russia. Russia would have been inaccurate.
No. Let me reiterate. I'm saying with the Russians to handle the business end.
Oh.
Because the Russian mafia right now, that's the mafia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Soviet Union fell and there were no more laws... You know, the true Russians, the ones who went into Germany and, as I found out, raped 9 out of 10 of the women in Munich, Germany, when they won the war. That's who the masks all fell off. Like, we don't have any laws anymore. Their mafia is incredibly powerful. And I think the lazy thing to do is have this Czech Republic thing or have Madrigal be through Russian billionaires or Russian mafia. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of going through Germany because they're much more precise. Mm-hmm. They're much more like Walter. And Gus.
Yeah.
They're clean, they're neat, they're organized, they're focused, and that's why their economy is the only thing that's thriving right now in Europe, you know? But anyway, that's...
To your point, John, just going back real fast, you said the writers, they must get nervous every time this comes in. I think it's more of the filmmakers. I mean, this takes a lot of damn time, especially with that kind of precision.
I know, but
you're shooting less than half a second, and setup time could be 8 hours.
That's true.
But
we've heard time and time again that it's always on the page. So I was thinking that the writers write it first, and then the filmmakers had to figure out how to edit it. That's what I was thinking.
Well, you had Michelle McLaren direct this one, so I mean, she's. You know,
that's right.
She's proven herself. So I think she went from the writer's room to this.
So. You don't think it went to hit the page?
I think it hit the page, but I think she was probably in those.
She was probably already thinking it as it was written.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because she was in those meetings.
Yeah.
So,
but talking about pretty, it was just pretty. That one was pretty.
Right. Yeah.
It was just very well.
I gosh every week about the show. I haven't seen one that hasn't been. I haven't seen one episode that hasn't been beautifully shot. Yeah. This one was so. It was just like the cinematography was dark. You know, it was really dark. It was very very dark. When we get to Pank, we'll talk about it. But I was like, wow, dark in both
this had to have a different purpose too. You know what I mean? It had multiple purposes. Like you said, it spanned – I don't know if it's exactly 3 months, but they said, been 3 months. Yeah. We don't know exactly from that day, so it could be 2.5, whatever. But, first off, the starting point of Walt, you know, coming down, coming back up, and then
– Let's talk about that.
But
being more specific, Phil, it was
– when he was sitting on the couch and he was talking to Hank and he bends over to put his drink
down. Well, before that, he's like – I like camping too, or whatever, something along
some
those
innocuous
lines.
Like the whole marking of trees thing, being outdoors in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for a minute I thought they'd actually reminisce on that, but it was like, nope, I care less about camping. Let's go to work.
I think that says a lot, which I'll talk about later when we talk about Walt. Talking about camping and all the insects.
Are we going to talk about Hank and Walter's
of course.
Little summit?
We can talk about it right now. This is exactly where it happened, so go ahead.
Well, okay, one thing I noticed is if you've noticed in the previous episodes with Hank and Marie in their house, it's bright.
Yeah.
It's neat. The purples are all coming out.
Yeah.
Take a good look when you watch this again. It's dark. The light is sucked out of that place. And we see a news report. And again, this is from
Mike August.
From Mike August. And I'll have to unlock my BlackBerry.
Okay.
But he was mentioning how it was Channel 4, and he Let's see. What do you got here for me?
This is after, by the way. This is after Hank gets when he's in the office with the kids, and Gomi comes in to give him the bad news of what happened in the jail cell.
And Ben and I were thinking it's 9/11 and Bush.
I thought that as well. Yeah,
Bush finding out about 9/11 while he's reading to the kids. And, in comes Gomi to tell him.
Uh oh.
And you just see the reaction.
And so then he's on his way home. And so
Mike August said, Walt watches Channel 4 News again. The number 4 is a symbol of death in Chinese. And Marie said, we can order Chinese. It's like, I thought that was interesting, which I think is interesting. But he starts talking about his job.
Yeah.
Tagging trees.
Yeah. Tagging trees. Reminiscing again.
Kind
of like, the parallel was when Jesse and Walt were reminiscing about good days. Remember that?
Yeah.
About the good old days.
You know, Walt says, sounds nice being out in the woods all day, and there's a lot of insects in this episode. And he said, I used to go camping. I feel like that's where he might just end up, out in the woods.
Out in the woods. You mean when all this is said and done?
I mean, there was so much foreshadowing about it. Yeah.
Well, I took being in the woods all day as, for at least for Hank, he's lost.
Yeah, that's
he's in the woods. Yeah. He doesn't know who the hell's doing this.
Exactly.
What force is
it?
I'm lost. I'm in the woods. He mentions mosquitoes, and of course, you're
out
there with the mosquitoes.
He's marking a trail, so he needs to find. I mean, that's the part where I went. Right to that is that he's lost. He hasn't figured this out.
You know, with the orange
who did
marks.
All this, all that other stuff. Orange marks, which me kind of was going, okay, that's the orange jumpsuit. That's what I went back to it with the guys in prison.
And he said, geez, I'd rather be tagging trees than chasing monsters.
Yep.
You know.
So do you think any of that sunk in to Walter?
Who?
I mean, is that I just thought it wasn't really sinking on a conscious level, but I think okay, it was that coupled with what Scott. I think that's where it was starting to sink in, because I don't think in his mind he's ever even considered it, that he's really the monster. He says he's the danger, but he's not the monster. And he was playing with his Holly just before all this. I mean, while all this was happening, right after that, Holly. He's got the baby.
And I think he planted himself there so he could be there when Hank got home.
Just to see what
his reaction.
Interesting. Yeah, because he could have been anywhere.
And to the point of that edit, it also just goes to show again. He's always been sitting right in front of Hank.
Yeah,
and you know, so that's the other side of
and
Walt
Hank hasn't seen it.
Yeah,
Hank's never seen it.
Exactly.
Yeah, right there, right in front of you. Yeah.
But you had a good point about Lydia, or that pickup of Skylar to
both in blue shirts,
both
right?
Blue shirts, that's the math. The red
and the red cups, and we know the red is always scary stuff. But the fact that they both are wearing it and the cut, you know, to me, I don't know. I'm just wondering, are we going to go down that road where it's going to be a romantic interest
between
Walt and Lydia? That's the only thing we haven't seen Walt
do. That's true. That's true.
And as we know, every gangster, every pimp, I don't care if you're Michael Corleone or Scarface, you have the hottie on the side.
Sure.
You know?
I don't see it happening.
Nothing?
Well, I mean, I absolutely think it's possible because of the way, you know, the rift that's between Walt and Skyler.
I don't know if there is anymore.
I think there always will be.
Yeah. I don't think she's a little bit. She didn't say, I want our family back. She said, I want my kids, but not even
my
our kids. I want my kids
life.
Back. My life. She said nothing about us or we or our.
No.
I think she's getting better.
So, but I don't think she has any. She just wants out of it. I don't think she has any desire to be with Walt.
I think, and I do. I think there's always going to be friction.
Yeah,
between them.
Well, how could there not?
You know where there was some friction, you guys?
Uh-oh. What's that?
There was a little bit of friction on iTunes.
Really? Why is that?
Well, as we know, we ask you every week to rate and comment on our shows,
and we appreciate it when you do.
We so do, and we please ask you guys, please, especially with this is our last show, our last hurrah, if you could just go to iTunes.com/AfterBuzzTV, and then what, Phil, you search for Breaking Bad at that point on our roster of shows?
Yeah, it's the artist page, yeah. Or if that's too hard, go to the AfterBuzzTV.com page and click Breaking Bad. That'll take you directly.
Takes you right there. Okay. Yeah. And then you have a chance to rate and comment also. We love your ratings and we love your comments. And no, someone was mad because I was calling out the other podcast.
And you,
because you know, they get a, you know, 3, 4, 5 days to look at this stuff. Uh-huh. And they have the luxury of seeing what other people's opinions are. And I just say that I didn't call it any specifically. I don't know of any specific. It was more calling out our fans for criticizing us than it was calling out those other podcasts. I think they're great.
Right.
We support other podcasts here all the time because we just all want, even Adam Carolla, we all want this medium to grow.
Right.
And it's only going to grow by other people doing those podcasts and getting their stuff out there and getting listeners and getting people at home to be comfortable with accepting content in this way off of your computer or your iTouch or your iPhone, whatever. So that wasn't our intention. And then the little dig was, you know, we don't get down on you for making fun of Maria having friends like Lydia.
Yeah.
Which, okay. So anyway, so that's, I just want to explain that. And then, but yeah, if you could please just continue to rate and comment like that, it's fine.
Keep us in line. Go ahead.
And please just tell a friend, and especially with our show, because our show, we get great numbers on this show. It's in the hundreds of thousands, and we so appreciate it. And we will be going away, unfortunately, which is just such a tragedy for us. I mean, most of us will be back for Boardwalk Empire. That's our next, fix. But please tell friends about this who just get into Breaking Bad. I mean, we have a lot of people out there that are on season 2 or season 3. I mean, because this show is just so explosive and just growing, still growing, you know. And for those people, mention to them about AfterBuzz, and they can tune into our, you know, AfterBuzz shows on iTunes and anyway. But just keep spreading the word, and that's it.
Now, I just wanted to go back real quick to just the Hank. I thought that was the way that they told Hank's little arc this particular episode was really good. You know, they start him out in the office with the kids, and he's so excited to be the top ASAC or whatever his title is. And then he gets the info. Well, actually, no. He's at the beginning of it. We see him in the prison, you know, trying to get so-and-so wants to give information. And Hank says, screw you. I got 8 other guys that can do it for me, so I don't need you, and I'm just going to go fishing. Which, again, back to the water issue. But what I liked about it is from a guy who said, I don't need anybody, and then he gets all of them are gone, and now he's thinking of quitting. I mean, Hank's like, he's ready to get out. He's ready to get, you know, he's almost thinking of retiring because, you know.
Again, the parallels between the two, in this game of chess, these two guys. And so you've got both of them in very dark environments.
Right.
Like the Walter house is still dark.
Still dark.
Yeah,
we saw it a lot right before the killing spree happened.
So it didn't brighten up.
Yeah.
And this came from Steve the Steamer, you know, one of our AfterBuzz hosts here. And he said, early in the episode, Hank was just like Walt, letting his ego get in the way of himself when he turned down Dennis's offer. It was a buyer's market, but how could he not realize that the powers that be would know that the lawyer was caught and then try to cut their losses, take all the people in jail?
Yeah.
It was a pretty logical move, but at the same time, a little bit of that arrogance.
Yeah.
He had it right in the palm of his hand. Give the guy the time off. Right. You can bust the other 8 guys.
Exactly.
They make those deals all the time.
Absolutely.
It was that hubris that we have seen with the two of them.
Exactly. But I mean, but who would have thought anybody could orchestrate that many killings within 2 minutes?
But true. But yeah. At the same time, maybe he should have been thinking, like, yeah. Should I underestimate?
I got a bird in the hand. Just take
any angle,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm going to dick her over
then,
a couple of years.
Because, again, if he had thought about it for half a second, who would have thought that somebody used a huge car magnet?
I mean, everything. Right.
All the stuff that they had done. I mean, remember how far they've gone to cover their tracks. So
This show is amazing at problem solving. They get an A++.
You know,
that's why I'm here.
One of the things, too, is when Skylar goes over to visit them and she has to talk with Marie, me and Kristen gasped when we saw Holly in the playpen with the red.
Yeah, we bought. Well, I did too.
Oh,
yeah,
we were like, oh my goodness.
I always get super tense whenever she's on screen.
Oh, yeah. I know we're jumping ahead, but even in that last scene where, Flynn is driving the kid around the pool, I'm just going, oh my God.
And
dude,
in the red wagon, and he's got a red shirt under his shirt, and we're like, oh my God.
We saw the little bug scurrying across. Yeah, give her the sunscreen.
The bigger thing for predictions will be, was that simply a foreshadowing of something bad was about to happen there with Hank, or is it something that's going to happen with those two kids? Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that, I noticed, even with Hank saying, take the kids back, is him giving up.
Yeah,
because he said, I'm never giving you back, and blah, blah, he was like...
And Marie said the same thing, and now they're saying it's time to go back. So, yeah, and I just, the way that Hank was, I mean, he just looked so beaten in that
tired.
Scene.
Yeah. He was limping a lot.
You saw the pain more. You saw it weighing on him more. We'll get to that later. So, but I just want to talk to you about that thing. Oh, okay, so the one thing we haven't really talked about is that pile of money. Were you just happy, Kevin?
Just how awesome. Yeah. No, okay. I was happy, but I also was scared because
it was
on a red rug.
Yeah.
But I was more frightened from a business standpoint. It's like, why do you have all that money in one
place? Exactly.
I mean, poor Mike, twice did he pilfer his money. And how many times do we hear about in mafia stories where these guys die broke? Like the mob gets it. I knew a story of a guy that had a lot of that money, it all was confiscated. And had tucked away $1 million and buried it. And when he went back, he got out of jail like it was all disintegrated.
Yeah.
Because he buried it. He didn't bury it properly. It.
Exactly.
But you hear about this all the time. It's like, that's the only thing that freaked me out. Like, why? Why is it in one place?
Well, and it's like, and I was going, why would you do that? And then I thought, well, where would you put it?
I get it. She's limited in what she can do.
But I thought, what an interesting solution to put it in a storage shed.
But isn't it kind of sad that everything he's worked for, everything we've seen him go through can fit in a little storage shed like that?
Well, when it's that...
when it's money, but it's just like... It's just kind of sad when you stand back and look at
it. Well, maybe that's how he felt because, she said, how much is enough? How big does this pile have to get? He seemed a little sad in that room. I wouldn't have felt sad. I didn't feel sad when I saw it. I was going, right on.
Yeah.
Did you feel it like that, Ben?
Oh, yeah. I was like, that is more than you will ever need.
Yeah.
Ever.
More than,
That can send your kids to college, like, as many times as they want.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just wasn't a very glorious. Well,
and I love the way they were showing the parallels with the table and the stacks of money. And I know we talked to the montage already, but that going from those tables and all those bags and then going to that was just such a great. I mean, the way she was saying, like, what are we going to do with it? I mean, I thought that was a very powerful scene.
Yeah, the fact that she just couldn't count it.
Yeah, couldn't count.
Get a number, not even an estimate. It's like.
Dang. I've tried weighing
it. Dang, that is a lot of
money. Grams, which is drugs. Right. It was.
So, I mean.
By the way, we estimating how much would you guys, how much you think?
I have not. I really.
Are we in the 100 million mark?
Billions. Or? With a B.
No.
That's what
that was a joke.
But
that's
what Walt said. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm sure that's what he wants. But I don't know. No, I don't think it was in the hundreds of millions. I think tens of million. It seems.
Probably,
I mean, who knows?
Probably
I don't know.
Around there.
Did you see? Did you guys? Oh, so let's talk about the difference in Jesse.
Oh wow!
With Mr. White.
Wow.
Think about how
he's afraid.
Absolutely,
yeah, well,
that's my
totally
point.
Scared.
But think of the once again, the difference between that Jesse and the Jessies we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. Like last year, he beat up Walter.
Yeah.
He put a gun in his face. He was just. Mm-hmm. all over him, and he was effing scared.
Yeah, and did anybody else think about or feel or figure out that when he saw who was at the door, what he went away to get? Did anybody?
I knew.
I
saw
that.
Right. Went to get his piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I knew it was Walter White.
He was like, he's killed everybody. Is he coming to kill me? But yeah. I got him in the minority. Kind of happy.
I'm the danger at the door.
Yep.
So.
And there he was.
There he was. But he certainly wasn't the danger.
But he is in a bigger way.
Oh, yeah. Clearly.
He's still the danger at
the
door.
Yeah.
Just anytime he comes around.
Yeah, exactly. Because,
you know.
Yeah. But that was a very, you know, again, reminiscing.
I like seeing Jesse humbled.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't like when he abused Mr. White last year. Right, I don't care if he had a reason or not. It's my guy.
That's right.
It's so bad for Jesse. It's just so heartbreaking. This relationship I've never seen on screen before, mm-hmm. where it's so unusual, this kind of relationship.
It really is.
And it's so heartbreaking.
Yep.
And both of them are two different people from where they started. And I'm just depressed over it.
But they are different. But could see the genuine affection between the two of them, and that's what was just nice. Yeah,
about the RV.
Saul took care of the house. Like he paid off the house for him, and then he leaves him with the bags of money. And it was, you know, we all like laughed when he tries to hide the bong.
Yeah, of course,
because he's like, no, Mr. White predicted exactly what I would do.
But the thing that I'm angry about is, wouldn't you at that, like, for Jesse, wouldn't you try to go against that? You know what I mean?
Hide it before he opens the door?
No, not even that.
Not smoke the weed, not do the video games.
Just not go to that lifestyle in general.
I'll show you.
Well, yeah, but once an addict.
Right. And you know, I think with a lot of addicts, that's why I'm always not – here we go. I'm always not so sure about addiction. A lot of times I see people
– Address all your letters to
– To me. I think people are extreme. Mm. And this is crazy, but like Malcolm X was like, he was a robber, and he did drugs and he was drinking, and then he flipped the switch and then went to the other extreme, which was completely pure, didn't cheat on the wife, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I just think
they replaced one compulsion for another,
you know, and so
or obsession.
I buy it, you know, it's like you could be the best at this. And how many times do we know this with addicts? You hear people, but he's so smart, but he's so good at this. But just watching the Todd Marinovich special. And, you know, they flip that switch. And if they flip the switch the right way, you know, it can be amazing. But I think it was great that he was back on it because I like the idea that Walter had his number.
And it also shows the influence that Walt had, Mr. White had on his life.
Right.
He gave him structure. He gave him something to do. I mean, all those things. And when he's left to his own devices, how many times have you seen that one?
Which is what makes the show interesting, you know, that it's gray. Mm-hmm. It's not so black and white.
Yeah.
You know?
And Jesse clearly learned so much from his interactions with Walter White as he started naming off the things that he would do, the strategies that he learned to make things work.
And he learned enough to go get a piece before he answered the door.
Right.
Well, that reminded me of Walter White bringing the rice in. And almost killing Lydia, like Jesse brought the gun almost.
Oh, good parallel.
Pulling it on Walter White.
That's what I remembered.
Well, say something, Ben!
But everyone's against everybody.
But here's the thing.
I've been trying.
But the only difference for me was that Walter was planning on killing her. Jesse was more of a defensive thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's still just that lack of trust in general.
Yeah, you can't. Well, certainly no one can trust Walt now.
It was just so great there talking about the RV.
Yeah, how much fun they had.
Why didn't we just buy?
Yeah, why didn't we just? Yeah.
I don't know. It was great.
It was like that's the relationship they've always wanted. Is this that without the craziness of the drugs and you know they just it would have been fun to be there.
All right, you guys have to help me.
Okay,
this is Ben, John, and Phil. One of you guys has to know. Talk to me about inertia.
About inertia?
Yes.
Body at rest stays at rest. Body in motion stays in motion.
Yep.
It's Newton's law.
So how does it relate to, because they kept mentioning it in their conversation.
Maybe the RV was in motion. Why disrupt it? It's just going to keep going. I don't know.
Well, is it because Jesse's at rest?
I've been thinking about this too.
Is it because Jesse's at rest right now?
That's a great parallel because, again, once he's on, the train doesn't stop.
That's the thing.
Gotcha. And with Walt being there as a driving force for Jesse, now you can... Obviously, we'll argue whether it was a good force or not, but he's moving. And without that driving force, he comes. Everybody wants to go back to the equilibrium. So they fall back to old patterns, which is why he, you know, Walt knew, look, if you don't, you're going to end up being this way because that's who you are.
And am I reaching here when you mention equilibrium? And I'm thinking of still water and running water.
Sure.
And we're seeing that out there.
And it was also a science thing, too. I mean, the equilibrium and all that other stuff. So that's where I took it, the inertia of him.
Boy, this guy who writes this is kind of smart.
This show is the only show that can make me actually terrified to see what's in the bag.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I mean, I knew it was going to be money. I just knew it was. But I was like, oh, Jesus, it was so tense when Jesse was going to open that bag.
Right. Okay, I've got a strong opinion why he threw the gun away, but I'd like to hear why you guys.
Okay, but I was the same thing. I knew money was in the bag, and I'm going, oh, it's a bag of money. But then the way that Jesse was, you know, going, I'm like, oh man, what else is in the bag?
Yeah,
really.
I thought,
is Walt suffering from dementia and put like a piece of mic in the bag?
Yeah. Well, not even dementia, just a warning. It could have very well been, and here's your big tough friend.
That's right.
Here's your big tough friend that scared everyone. Guess what? I killed him.
Yeah.
So you know what? Don't F up with me or I'll kill you too. But it wasn't that.
Okay.
I guess, right? I mean, no, it wasn't
that at all. Mm-hmm. So could have been, but it wasn't.
I felt like he tossed the gun away.
Right.
Because I think he said to himself, how could I think that this guy was going to kill me? And how could I think?
Okay.
I think that's why he kicked the gun away. Okay. He was like, I was going to kill him. And look, he brought me all the money. And he was a man of his word. And and we were close. And that's what I think. I think they have this great dysfunctional father and son relationship.
I didn't take it there. I went to relief. I'm so glad I didn't have to do this.
I don't know. I mean,
that's where I went with
earlier in the season, he breaks down when he realizes he almost killed him in season 4,
right?
Mm-hmm. When they find the rice and the fake rice in his Roomba.
I almost killed
you. That's what I remembered.
Yeah, because he did break down and, you know, I almost killed you. And Walt said, no, don't think about it and all that kind of stuff. But see, now I think at this point he knew he needed that to protect. Why wouldn't you think that Walt could kill me? He killed Mike. And he killed all those people.
Yeah, but I mean, he's never had the same relationship with Mike as he has.
True, he hasn't, but he's never did what he did with the way he shut.
But he paid for the house and he brought the money when he didn't have to.
No, that's true. That's true. But also the way the last thing he said to him when he kicked him out, you get nothing. The way he closed the door on him,
father and son,
all that other stuff. So
father and son.
So I just didn't go to that part where
even when he closed the door.
AfterBuzz host Steve Bottomley with AfterBuzz host Benjaneer Bottomley.
even when he closed the door, in that whole scene, he doesn't just straight up tell Jesse that, yeah, I killed Mike. He kind of
He's gone.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you what happened just because I know you're going to be upset.
And even the way he closed the door on him, he was like, no, you're out. It was so much like I've seen the bratty father who's so fed up with the kid. And it just was so like emotional. It wasn't without emotion. It wasn't the way Gus would be.
Mm-hmm.
Gus would be charming and he'd be like, listen to this. It was because they're so enmeshed.
Oh, clearly.
And they're so connected. And I love it.
Yeah.
What did you guys take from the cigarette burning through the couch?
I wasn't sure if we would back to dealing with Todd's family because it was all the same thing. The cigarettes were being smoked down that much. And then, I don't know, you know, just a foreshadowing, a slow burn, and I don't know, just, you know, burn his fingers, waking him up.
I just thought it was a nod to him going back to his self-destructive ways.
Yeah, I just thought, he's a burnout again.
And Artie Lang used to say on Howard Stern, there was nothing more pleasant than doing heroin and smoking a cigarette and just listening to Pink Floyd, and he just passed out with a cigarette. And by the way, like I know a lot of guys who went up in flames because they passed out with the cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the junkies, you know, that were shooting up. So quite poignant.
All right, let's get to our final point. Last two scenes.
Those last two scenes. So did you guys notice on the Walter wall, there's some stencils of like, look like a scorpion and things like that. I don't know if that was always there. You know, his across from the pool, the yellow wall. Anyway,
I've seen that before.
You've seen it before?
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I remember
that. Okay, now speaking to how eerie it is, I don't know what you were saying, Ben, exactly when you were talking about seeing the bag and how scary it is to open the bag. I was freaking out with him walking Holly around.
We all were.
Saw the bugs skittering across, and then they're just talking. It's so banal what they're saying, and I'm just going, oh my God, they're talking about nothing.
Dean Norris, he said recently, there's a pretty eerie scene involving Holly. And I was like, oh, God.
And then I was just going, oh, my God, what is she going to fall in the water? I mean, what's – oh, my.
A shout out to sound design, because the conversations between the two were loud enough to be audible.
Right.
But soft enough that we were paying attention to other things.
Yeah.
And by the way, in two conversations at once.
Yeah.
By the way, just little like key symbolic things that I picked up. To me, the prenatal vitamins.
Right.
If you go a few, scenes back, Hank is defeated.
Yeah.
You know, give Holly back.
Mm-hmm.
The prenatal is like, I think we're about to come back. I think we're get the baby back. But we're coming back to life. And I think there's mention of like lemons, and you know, and that to me is all the yellow that's all over the place, and something about public demand.
Making Schrader brew.
Right, he's talking about making brew. Again,
for me, it's
apparel to making, cooking.
Again,
right?
Yeah, it was right there, the science, and also it was kind of something, it felt like he was talking about what he's going to do with his free time or what he would do
now. I thought that as well.
He's retiring or
right?
Finding some other thing to occupy
his
thoughts.
They were both at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And maybe the prenatal, because perhaps Marie's thinking about getting pregnant. That's something very random to bring up. I mean, it does actually help your hair, but why would you say that?
But I feel like their ship has sailed with kids, and we don't know why.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's why he mm-hmm. with Holly, he said, you're staying with me. And we know Walt Jr. looks up to him more. It's mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. just slow battle between these two, and they're inching closer and closer and mm-hmm. closer. But I found like – even that last scene, you know, to mention public demand too, which is, we know there's such a public demand for the meth. You know
yes. I mean? That was a great, great line from Hank. He said, well, who am I to argue with public demand? And then, you know, they just get that nice little look or thing from Walt. It's like, it's almost like, just like the thing, they're going to pull me right back in.
You know what the scene reminded me of? It reminded me of the last scene of The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember when Meadow was parking?
Oh,
and
okay.
They kept cutting back to the parking and different guys coming to the diner, and just they built and built and built and built and built and built, and like, and you were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like, what's going to happen? Yeah. And that to me, with the baby going around, and this the way the sound design was, I'm like, oh no, no.
Yeah, don't do it.
No, no.
Don't
who do, sounds gonna happen? Who's going to be blown up? Or
and you know, it's because they trained us too. They trained us that, you know, it builds up and we're going to find, oh, it's going to be horrible. Yeah. And then, of course, it's where do they in the last scene for something so, oh, I don't know, monumental, they decide to have it in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
This isn't a catch of the week, but right. I want to throw it out right now. And again, I give Mike August the credit. Is he was saying how we're watching Walter, we know, go from Heisenberg to Walter White. Mm-hmm. And his thing was that we're watching Hank go to ASAC Schrader. You know, that's his alter ego.
Yeah.
And at the end of, well, the second to last scene, it's Hank and Mr. White, Walter White, the chemistry teacher.
Yep.
Back to where we started the series.
They're just having, you know, the nice cookout at
civilian
home,
conversation.
At Walt and Skyler's house. Everybody's kind of like, hey, aren't we happy?
Talking about minutiae.
Exactly. Stuff that's not, you know, relevant.
And he's going off into the sunset. Yeah. We feel like it's over for him. Yeah. He's given up. He's given up on being a parent to Holly. He's giving up on his career.
It's almost like it reminded me of No Country.
No Country for Old Men.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's what it reminded me of.
Exactly. And I'm out, you know, and then Walt took him out. And then in the bathroom.
Oh, of course, we saw the book earlier in the episode. I can't remember when we saw it. Was it part of a montage? We saw the
it was,
book.
No, it was him
when he was getting out of the shower.
When he was getting out of the shower, So that was a nice placement again. But yeah, just the Walt Whitman. And I remember, oh my God, the book. And I forgot. Did you remember, Ben, what was in the book?
I remember there was a note from Gail.
Okay, I'm saying, oh my, and that's what I said. I go, oh my God, he's going to see the note from Gail. And I thought, I didn't realize, I forgot that it was just his initials, but the WW was the big thing anyway. So that was just a wonderful. I mean, come on. How many years ago was that book was? That's like three seasons ago?
Yeah, that was in season three that he got that.
Damn.
Death has a way of echoing in Breaking Bad. Wow. And I really like that. With Gus's death echoing and now Gail's death echoing.
Man, did anybody see that coming?
No. I'm waiting for the edits, which in my opinion will make this scene 10 times better, when Hank is making that, oh my God, it's Walt face, you know?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for someone to edit in the plopping noise.
Yeah, you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, somebody will. But great little flashback, though. Go ahead.
I knew, obviously, that he was going to catch him. I didn't know how. In that scene, I'm like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to find something. I didn't know what he was going to find.
Because why else would we follow him to the bathroom?
Yeah, I know.
God, but is it so typical of the super criminal always leaves, like, does the dumb mistake, like, really with that book?
Well, you know, exactly, because I guess he had explained it so well last time, explained it away so well, he figured it wasn't a problem. And, you know, again, I think it goes to the point where the professionals always make a mistake. And we heard Hank say that. They always make mistakes. And we'll just have to be there when they do.
And it sucks. I mean, do you guys think that he knows now?
Yeah.
Does he know or and again, disagree or disagree, but does he know or is he more to this? Does he know Heisenberg?
I think when they showed that flashback, that was pretty much saying
his Hank internal thoughts.
But it's one thing to know it, like he knew it was Gus, there's another thing that he has to prove it. So, you know, that's where I think it's, you know, he may
will
know it.
Will he pursue?
Yeah. You know, what will he do with that information? And, you know, is he going to, you know, but I was this close to getting out. Now that I know this, can I let it go?
This is more, it's probably more of a prediction thing, but do you guys think that Walt will pull the card that, it was my dirty money that paid all your bills when you were in the hospital?
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
I think absolutely.
I don't know that conversation will happen. I don't know.
I think if there's a face-to-face encounter, I hope it'll either be, you know, verbal or along the lines of...
All right, so let's get into our predictions, I guess.
Oh, wait, can we do Catches of the Week?
Oh, okay, absolutely. Let's do Catches of the Week.
So
thank you.
This is from our dear Mike August. I think I already said this before. When Todd tells Walt not to worry about the money until he gets good at making the meth, I feel there's subtext in there. Don't worry about the money now because I'm going to take it all. Walt said no one else gets hurt when talking to Jesse. Yet he shot Mike out of rage at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Shows he's lost
again,
control.
Again, when he's in chaos and not when he's in control of it.
Right. When Todd tells Walt not to worry about money until he gets good at making the meth, I feel there's subtext there of... Don't worry about it now. I'm going to take it all. Okay, good. I reread the same thing. Awesome. As for the boat symbolism, perhaps it represents the end of Mike's journey or that Walt is not on solid ground. I feel the two scenes of Walt – this is from Michael. I feel the two scenes of Walt putting on crocodile tears to Hank will turn to genuine tears in front of Hank at the end of the series as a contrast. Maybe a standoff between Hank and the DEA at the end with Walt making a grand speech that he just wanted to be somebody. Brought back to being human. Maybe Declan is a bargaining chip for Walt to give to the DEA too, as Declan is a bigger player with a larger network than Walt. I think Walt going down in a hail of bullets is below Gilligan's standards, and he won't have a sloppy ending like that. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much.
Those are the catches of the week. So okay.
Let's do our predictions. Okay.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right, well, I'll weigh in, because it seems like, you know, now that Walt...
Can I just say...
No. Yeah.
I'm going to say that these predictions are brought to you by SerialBuddies.com.
Oh.
If you don't know what that is...
Nice.
Go there, and I think you'll like it.
Okay.
It's some more fun. It's a contrast.
Temp site,
right now.
New site's
coming. But, you know, it's something that we won't have a chance to promote, because this is the last show... and then there's a lot of good things happening before the premiere of Breaking Bad season 5.5, whatever the hell you want to call it. So in between now and then, check out SerialBuddies.com and keep revisiting, because a lot of new things will be happening there. And
yeah, good. Biggest catch of the week is remembering to plug that. Yeah, that's actually our movie that John, myself, and Phil produced along with Maria. And we have some big news coming out on in probably the next few weeks.
Yes.
And we are building the site. The trailer will be out there soon. And please
take a visit. It's the first serial killer comedy of all time. So it's kind of on par with like...
Buddy comedy film.
Buddy comedy. Yeah,
that's first serial killer buddy comedy.
Yeah, there you go.
I watched it.
Yes, you did.
I saw it early.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. Okay.
Why wasn't I at this screening?
You're going to be at the... No, that was early cuts. Yeah. He was in a test screening. We're going to have you at the real one. Not so much we think of you.
I'm feeling left out.
No.
All right.
All right,
moving on. See how it is.
Yeah.
Well, back to predictions.
You were our test. You were a market audience there. So yeah, here we go. So it seems like now that Walt is kind of leaning towards getting out. Well, he's obviously said he was getting out, but we know that that's going to be difficult. And we know the kids. I think what's going to happen is they're obviously going to get the kids in danger. They're going to force Walter to come back into it because those people who are making all those kinds of money off him are going to
never let you out.
No way.
Never let you
get back in here and finish that. He's making too much money for people.
And to go from 60% to whatever. Yeah. Or he's going to have to give up the formula.
Yeah,
well, I think Todd could potentially know the formula. Well, I think Todd...
He could.
Todd has no apathy for Walt.
I think Todd can continue.
But in order to keep Walt hooked, they got to either get rid of Todd or for some reason they got to make... He has to do it. Because they'll either they'll steal his kids, whatever they do, but they have to get to put him in jeopardy. Put the kids in jeopardy to make him.
I know it's gonna sound crazy. I'm still not sure that Todd is gonna sell out Walt.
I don't know that he is. I don't even think he is. I think if he knew how to do the meth on his own, they wouldn't need Walt. But because Walt's gonna be here for another,
I think Todd's gonna be the new Walt, and obviously Walt is the Gus, and so Todd's got to take out Walt.
I just don't see him that smart.
I think he's a hard worker who wants to be part of something.
So you
wants
think
to fit in.
this whole idea that Walt says I'm getting out is a misnomer. He's not.
I think he wants to get out, but now
it's to your point, John. No one lets you out. There's too much money being made. The purity of the product. Maybe if he gives them the formula, but we know that's like him giving up his patent.
Yeah,
I mean.
And would he do that to save his family? I don't know, but I think in order to keep him hooked, to keep us watching, he's going to have to be forced either he's doing this as a ploy. It's all a ruse to Skyler and everybody. I'm not really getting out. I'm just saying that.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Are you predicting that, John? I'm saying
that that's the only way we can have 8 more episodes out of this. He has to placate that, or placate her, I should say, and then pretend he's getting out and not get out.
We could easily have 8 episodes of Hank putting together the clues to get him.
Yeah.
But knowing that we end up at a Denny's with a full head of hair.
Yeah.
And assault weapons.
That's why I think
we know. Like,
that's why I think the kids are in jeopardy, and I don't or something. Because what else would he? What else would get him to buy an assault weapon?
Right.
And decide to take somebody on.
Hank could get taken out, not killed, but
he
taken
could take it out
down.
Of the equation. Right.
And where now it is on Walt to protect the kids and everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's his last stand. It's like, and I think not going, I think the hail of bullets, what Mike August was saying.
Yeah.
It is a little bit too simple.
I don't think it's going to be a hail of bullets.
But he puts down all those foreshadowing for Scarface.
And he's been saying it like crazy. Is he going to go against that?
I really want to see him come across like an old church and have him sit in a confessional booth right before he does that showdown. Like, how amazing would that be? There doesn't even have to be a priest there. Just him in a confessional booth.
What he said, awesome.
You want absolution for him?
I just want him to sit. Yeah. Okay. You know? But in the end, do you guys think he'll be facing the DEA, or do you think he'll be facing, Declan and that crew?
Or will he be facing the entire Czech Republic?
If it's Walt. Yeah. I still... I'm thinking it's the ironic ending of, like, the way they ended the Godfather series, where...
Yeah, where he's succeeded, but his soul is gone.
What did you gain? You have no friends, no family.
Well, he said
so he's
going
to be out in the woods?
He said that to Jesse,
we're already going to hell.
Yeah. You know, so just accept that fact. And
it's so easy to say it gets cancer, dies. Goes out in a hail of bullets. It's just easy, and I agree.
No, and Vince Gilligan's
a better writer.
And they all want to do something much more interesting than that.
I think an ironic ending where he'll win, but he'll really lose.
Okay, so that's what the ending will be. What do we think the next season will be about?
That is the ending, right? That's what I'm getting to. I think it's 8 episodes and we end it.
Just to that? Do you think Hank's going to go for it is my point. Hank now knows.
And I think they're going to work together.
Okay, he's going to figure it out, and he's going to confront them, and then all of a sudden
they'll
work together.
I think at some point they may have to join forces.
Wow, okay. And will Jesse be part of that?
Of course.
Okay, so the three. Nice, interesting. Anybody and maybe want
that,
second that?
And maybe that goes back to the three. Right? Yeah, we have three, 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 three,
like
three, right?
Hank looks like Mike.
We're anybody for the perfect combination.
Anybody have
three?
A different idea then?
I don't think Hank can be corrupted.
Oh, I don't think it's about corruption. I think it's more about like everyone's lives are on the line.
Survival,
and they have to. It's survival.
Okay. So
I hope it looks like.
Is that what you, Ben? Do you think it's just a showdown between?
Yeah. Do you think it's a showdown and between whom?
I don't know. I mean, I think if there would be a showdown between Walt and Hank, that would be obvious, but pretty impressive.
I think it'll be Lydia versus Hank, or not Hank. I'm sorry, Walt.
Lydia's not a good enough.
I just think she's another Gus. It's another like we're gonna. Yeah. But by the way, Lydia's bosses that came in.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys, they're gonna come around. The Germans.
Yeah.
That were so callous with their manager. Mm-hmm.
Do you think?
Remember who they are.
Yeah.
Perhaps Walt goes out by himself with all these guns, and then everybody comes behind Walt, like Jesse and Hank will come and back him up in the end.
This isn't the Expendables.
Walt came out of nowhere to save Jesse, so you never know. I don't know. I mean, I think it's such a great show that we don't know.
And you just said this great, which is they are so enmeshed that at some point, even as dysfunctional as their relationship is, I think those guys are tied together.
Right.
When Walt he ever Jesse. Said, thanks, Jesse, to Walt Jr., mm-hmm. You know, when he was on Vicodins, to me, it's like, that's his son. Yeah. That's the son that, you know, he should have had in his Lydia the wife. I don't know. I still go back to that. But
Okay. Anybody else want to second that? Will we see a romance?
I just think you have to because you've had.
We've seen
everything else.
I think
with
that
Walt.
Would be interesting.
And if you guys don't think sex is a big part of as big a part of power as money is, then you haven't worked in Hollywood.
Yeah,
you know. But even in Wall Street too, it's part of that thing that drives the alpha male and the testosterone and the fact that we haven't gone there.
Yeah.
It's definitely an area that I can see
that they would
should.
Quote explore unquote
yeah.
end quote excuse me.
He's just so busy.
Well, I think that's why they haven't explored it. Is that you know, they tried to you know he
the last time we saw him really him and Skyler went at it that one time they like passion but. The last time I recall seeing like a genuine exchange with a female was the flashback to when he got screwed out of his when he was in his college days and he's so excited talking chemistry with it looked like his girlfriend at the time and
was
it looks
Gretchen?
Like
it was Gretchen.
Obviously, the love triangle. I feel like a love triangle formed, and that's how he got pushed out.
Uh-huh.
Once again, it's the three thing, right? That just keeps coming back, and I just could see like. The way Lydia like is thinking like he is and, you know, I don't know. I could see them having a connection.
Hey, and you know.
That's what that last look was, to me, was about.
If he
having
does
sex
it,
with
though.
Crazy is yeah. it's fun.
If, it's a lot of fun.
If he does do it, I think it's just going to be like a means to an end kind of thing. It's not because he actually likes her or has feelings for her or anything like that. I think it's just going to be because
I don't think he's going to be a male gigolo and just he's not going to sleep with her to get ahead. He does. He's ties
her. Not to get ahead.
But I think, again, filling that void, his ego, I think we're going
to
see it.
I meant a means to an end of a desire, just a desire to do it.
Right.
If she's there and he wants to, I see it happening, but I don't see him actually liking her.
Well, he's
her
not
going to
listen. No, no. He already said he's on the road to hell. The only, I think, connection other than his kids is to Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't say he's going to fall in love with her and it's Camelot. No, I'm just saying I think that we're going to see something.
Well, I don't think we're going to see Walt and Skyler get back together.
No.
So, and if that's not going to happen, I think he's going to seek something else.
I mean, we're just going to see her ravel and out of control, though. I mean, because one of the kids are going, at least. Either the baby or Walt Jr.
That's our wrap-up music.
Wow.
All right, so as we leave, let everybody know where they can
You heard it here first!
What?
I'm saying Breaking Bad, people. You heard it here first. Okay, go listen to your other podcast.
Right, hey, we don't want to get in trouble with that.
We don't need that.
I forget what it was. Katie767.
Please, Katie.
I'm just saying. Wonderful podcasts. Started the conversation first.
That's right. We started it. Yeah. But they can finish it.
Hey, guys. Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can find me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or Cinematic Escape is my blog. You can bang that. And also, I'm going to be doing Dexter and Revolution next.
Ooh, very exciting.
What about you? What about you?
Oh, you can find me on another podcast. I'll be doing Revenge. That's my favorite show during the
At Full Speed Tech and at AfterBuzz.
Just find me at on Revenge.
Okay, go listen to Revenge. Exactly. What about you?
Well, Ghost? I think go to SerialBuddies.com. Keep checking in on that. Yeah. And we are really excited. I know a lot of you Breaking Bad fans are also fans of Boardwalk Empire. We are also excited, as I say, if this is heroin, that's our subutext. That's very close. It's just Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Boardwalk for me.
Are the
trifecta.
And Engineer, you're too young for anybody to find you, right?
I still go by Carrier Pigeon.
Okay, good.
Nice.
I go by Smoking Eagle.
It's illegal.
Find me on SerialBuddies.com because you'll see us there.
There's a bio.
Did you write a bio for me?
Of course I did.
Awesome.
You got a bio.
Nice. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It's been a pleasure to be here for you for Season 5, Breaking Bad. On behalf of Kristen Snyder, Phil Svitek, Ben Bottomley, and Kevin Undergaro, this is John Comfort saying goodbye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It's like Skyler.
Buzz you later.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.